even explain it, because they didn't do it. Jesus did it. Jesus is a healer. He is the great physician. If you believe that Jesus is a great physician, why don't you just, well, you know, I made a doctor's appointment today to get that paper filled out with a specialist to say that I'm not really retarded. Well, let me tell you, when I go in there, I'm going to tell the doctor what I'm there for. I'm going to say, well, this is the problem. I got this paper here. I need you to fill it out saying that I don't have any mental disorders. And you know what? Anytime I go to the doctor, if I have a cold or whatever it is, I tell them what's wrong with me. Let me tell you, this is like a doctor's appointment for you. The great physician is amongst us tonight. Why don't you just lift your hands and tell him everything you need? Just tell him all your symptoms. Tell him what the problem is. And just let the great physician, the great doctor, take care of it tonight. Tell the doctor about it tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Well, praying very much today, I felt like that the Lord gave me something to preach tonight. Amen. So I'm going to do my best to preach tonight. Amen. From the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. Amen. A familiar story. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesthamon, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Amen. That valley of Elah. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, long time ago, I looked up to see how much that would be, and I don't remember, because some of these preachers probably do, but he's what we call a giant. Amen. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's all pray. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would give me the right words to say, the right spirit, Lord, to preach this message that you have given me, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just have your way. Move in this altar tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, have your way tonight. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. That's much better. Amen. Well, I want you to understand tonight. Now, this is the Philistines, which is a national army, and then the Israelites, and this battle that they are set in array, as the Bible uses the terms, in other words, all lined up, ready to go, ready to be attacked, one on one mountain, all lined up, ready for the
attack from the Philistines, and then the Philistines over on this mountain, ready, all set up for the Israelites to come over and attack them, all ready for battle. They know there's going to be a great battle, and they are all come ready. Now understand that they have no doubt brought the best of the soldiers, the guys that are the bravest, the guys that are the strongest, the best guys to fight this battle. And understand that this is more than just the right to say, yeah, we defeated the Philistines. No, it goes more than that. If they lose, they become servants to the Philistines. So this battle is a great, with much, much here for the loser and the winner. So it is very important that the Israelites come to this battle and come with a winning attitude, with their mind made up. They have got to win this battle or they are going to become servants. Well, the two armies are set up on each mountain, and here comes this man named Goliath, a Philistine, who was described in the Bible as being very large, a giant. He come down in the mountain, and he began to scream and yell. Now, remember, folks, this was back before me and you was born, so there was no high-powered rifles. So they couldn't just get behind a tree and shoot him down. If anybody was going to kill him, that's going to have to come down and face him face to face and kill him, because they didn't have rifles. So he come down and began to curse the Israelite army. He began to dare them and say, go ahead, I'm an Israelite, you're Saul's army, go ahead, send somebody down here to kill me. Go ahead, send one person down here, I dare you. He cursed them and dared them. So Israel was ready to fight, but now they had this giant in the valley that before they could get over to where the Philistines was, they had to go through this giant. Now, some of these big, strong guys over there in the army, they got to talking about this, and they got sore afraid. They was very afraid. Now, was they afraid of all the Philistines? No, they had their battle set in array. They were ready. Hey, they didn't care to go over on that other mountain and attack them Philistines. But nobody wanted to go down there and face that giant. Nobody wanted to do that. So let me tell you, friend, this is my text tonight. If I could take a title tonight, I want to preach about the giant named self. This is a great spiritual battle that we're in tonight, friend. You may not see a big battle going on in front of you. You may not see any swords and spears and so forth flying through the air. But let me tell you, there is a great battle that's going on all over this church. There is not one person here tonight that is not set in array for this battle tonight. And let me tell you, friend, there is a great loss to lose with this battle. If you lose this battle, your life is going to not only be full of reaping a bad harvest, but then when it's over, you're going to go to hell if you lose this battle. And hell, friend, is a terrible, terrible place that nobody, yeah, you probably heard somebody, I know I have one time, I heard a man say, yeah, I don't care, I ain't never going to pray. Lord wants to take me to hell, go ahead and let him, I don't care, I want to go. Nobody wants to go to hell, friend. That is something that they may say in a moment to make you think that they're really something. But nobody wants to go to hell. Amen? And if somebody ever did get so much full of the devil that they really did want to go to hell, 5 seconds, and they would never want to go back to hell. Let me tell you something, friend. This battle that we are in tonight, I hope to goodness that nobody here loses. This is a terrible, terrible battle. And let me tell you, friend, this battle that we are in, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting each other. If the devil has convinced you that you need to take care of so-and-so, you just tell the devil, I'm not fighting against flesh and blood. I'm fighting against you. We are fighting against the devil tonight. Spirits and powers that are unseen is what we're battling against each other. And listen, friend, listen. I've pastored a few years and evangelized a few years and been saved for many years and grew up in church. And believe me, I know the devil convinces people they're fighting against each other. Let me tell you something, friend. This great battle is not against each other.
Right.
If two people in the Highway of Holiness Church get good and mad at each other and decide to take care of each other and start talking bad about each other and doing everything they can to hurt each other, you know what? It don't matter who wins or who loses if they're a little battle against each other. If they've got that kind of spirit, that means they're both losing the great battle. And when you lose the great battle, friend, you go to hell.
Right.
So don't worry about trying to get back and defeat somebody else. Worry about trying to defeat those powers that are unseen. Worry about this battle that we are in against the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Right. Well, here's the problem. Now, spiritually speaking, I know that the devil is right here amongst all of us. But in another sense of what we're reading and preaching tonight, you can kind of imagine we are the church up on one mountain. We as the church, we as Christian people up on another mountain. And the devil, we are in battle against him, and he's over there on that other mountain. But between me and the devil, there is a giant named Doug Cornett. I was born with a nature that I call the Adam nature. I was born as myself, as being my worst enemy. Now listen, folks, and I don't want to spoil nobody's doctrine tonight, and I've heard it preached many times, and I've heard people talk about it many times, which was just basically giving the devil great praise. Well, let me tell you, the devil is not your biggest enemy. You are. Amen? Let me tell you, the devil is just a fallen angel kicked out of heaven. You, friend, make your own decisions. The devil can influence you. He can tempt you. But he can't make you do anything. You decide what you're going to do. So your biggest enemy is you. And this giant that's in this valley between us and the devil that I'm going to call self tonight, that giant stands down there and he dares you to do anything about it. He dares you to come down there and kill him. This valley in the Bible that we're talking about was called the Valley of Elah. This valley that I'm preaching about tonight, let's just call it the Valley of Sanctification. Sanctification, which is to be separated, to separate yourself from the world, to separate yourself from the world and draw closer to the Lord. This valley of sanctification is a valley where yourself stands and dares you to come down and kill him. Amen?
Amen.
There are so many things in this world that, hey, I don't do. Am I ever tempted to do them? Sure. And every now and then, old self, just when I think he's dead, rises back up. And I have to go back down that valley and kill him again. Well, let me just give you a quick example. Today, when I was told that I'm retarded, according to the thing that they told me today at the driver's license branch, when I went home, you talking about being aggravated, I was so aggravated, I complained all the way home to Brother Miller. Brother Miller, a mental disorder? I mean, what was they meaning by that? And he was just saying, now, Doug, quit worrying about it. We'll go to the doctor and get this paper filled out. Don't worry about it. And I was just getting so angry, and I was just, an old self tried to raise up. When I got home, I went in there, and I tell you what, I was so aggravated. And I told Melissa, she met me at the door, and she said, well, did you get your new license? I said, no. She said, were they closed? I said, no, they said I was retarded. And she kind of laughed like you did. And I said, Melissa, I can't believe they said that. I'll tell you what, I'll just go back down there and tell them people just what I think about them. That was old self wanting to rise up. And then my wife started talking to me, as a sanctified wife ought to. Now, Doug, you're getting mad, Doug. Now, Doug, the Lord has healed you. That might have been what they thought you was before,
but you don't have any brain damage now. You just need to let the Lord take care of this. And you know what I had to do before I come to church tonight? I had to do what David did in this story. I had to go down to the valley and re-kill that Adam nature guy named Doug and tell him, no. I don't get mad and tell people off anymore. Lay back down. Come on now, friend. The valley of sanctification. There are many things, friend, that the devil will try to tempt you with and tell you, I tell you what you ought to do. But let me tell you something, friend. If you're ever going to win this battle, if you're ever going to fight your way to the victory, which is called heaven, if you're ever going to win this battle and get the victory, friend, then you have got to be willing to go down into that valley and face that giant named self and kill that giant. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Book of Matthew, chapter number 17, I believe it's verse number 21, and I'll just do my best to quote it here, tell you the story. The Bible tells the story about how the disciples, if you remember, was trying to pray deliverance for this person who was demon-possessed, and nothing was happening. And then Jesus came and spoke the words, and the devil fled out of that person. Then the disciples said, "Now wait a minute. We prayed, nothing happened. What's the difference?" And Jesus said, "How about this cometh only by prayer and fasting?" Now, this valley in the Bible is called Elah. I want to give it a new name tonight. This valley called prayer and fasting. All right, listen to me, friend. If you're going to win this battle, you have got to be willing to go down into that valley called prayer and fasting and kill that giant named self. Amen? Oh, yeah, sure. Well, maybe there were some people there that wasn't necessarily afraid of that giant named Goliath, but maybe there were some people there that was just not having a good day. Maybe the one guy that could have killed Goliath sitting there, maybe he had a headache that day. I don't know. Maybe he was just tired. Maybe yesterday he had a big day. Maybe he was just in a hurry to get back home. I don't know. Hey, let's just not think now that every one of them was afraid. Let's just try to think about this. Maybe he had a brand new sword. He didn't want to get a sword, waste a sword on a giant and get it all messed up. Maybe it wasn't that he was afraid. Maybe he had other reasons. Maybe the reason that you don't pray like you should pray or like you used to pray is not that you just don't believe in praying or you're afraid to get down and pray. Maybe you're just busy. And let me tell you, I took this for a text one time when I was pastoring. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you are too busy. Amen? So let me tell you, if you're going to win this battle, there are times that you have to go down in that valley of prayer and fasting. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but spiritually sometimes I feel like the best thing for me to do is fast. But physically, friend, I don't ever feel like fasting. Now, I'm not trying to be unspiritual here and show my weaker side, but I got to tell you, friend, and I'm not very heavy. Of course, I had 4 months of my mouth being wired shut, lost 40-something pounds, which is a good diet if you want to try it. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I have never got up one morning and just thought, you know what? I just feel so good in my body, I think maybe I'll just fast today. If I ever said that, which I might have, I don't remember ever saying that, but if I ever did, by noontime, I had changed my mind. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, friend, maybe it's not sometimes that I just don't believe fasting will work, and I don't think fasting helps anything. Maybe sometimes I'm just hungry. Maybe sometimes I know I've got a big day planned. Hey, I got things I got to do. I need my strength. I need my energy. Maybe sometimes
This is always something the devil tries to use for you brothers. Listen to me. This is something the devil has tried to use many times on me. That I have said, Lord, I'm going to do my best to fast today, Lord. And I just wash my face and pray and come out of there ready to fast. And then my sweet wife fixes my favorite meals. Well, it's not that I don't believe in fasting works. It's that my wife fixed my favorite food.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, let me tell you something, friend. There are times that you have to go down to the valley of prayer and fasting in order to win this battle. Amen? Oh, yes. There are times that the best thing you can do is go down into the battle, into the valley of prayer and fasting. Amen. Now, one place in the scripture, Jesus talked about that he was willing to drink of the what kind of cup? Do you remember what he called it? The bitter cup. That is not a good tasting cup. That means he was willing to drink of a cup that was not very good tasting. That doesn't make you drink it and say, hey, give me a refill. No, 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 no. Like I do at Frisch's. I don't say that talking about a bitter cup. But let me tell you something, friend. There is this valley here in this Bible called Elah. I want to call it the valley of the bitter cup. There are times that things will happen to you that you don't want to happen. There are times that you go through a bitter time that you must drink from the bitter cup, spiritually speaking, that everything doesn't go your way, just like that you wish it would. But it is important, friend, that you go ahead and drink of that bitter cup. Do you remember the disciples one time? They got angry at what the people were saying, and I believe it was John who came to Jesus and said, Lord, just let us call down fire out of heaven. Let us call down fire out of heaven and destroy them. And Jesus said, mm-mm, you don't know what spirit you're of. No, 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 no. Sometimes, friend, you have to drink of the bitter cup. Amen? When I was a little boy, I was telling you the other night when Brother Jerry Wayne Philpott was here, our church moved and so forth, and so we moved. I'm sorry, church hadn't moved yet. We moved, and so we needed a ride to church, and we had went to Liberty Street, and we started going to Northside Pentecostal Church, where Brother Walter Napier was the pastor, and that was a storefront church down in Northside of Cincinnati on, I think it was Blue Rock Street, I think is what it was. I can't remember. I'm sure my mom remembers. And there was an old service station there that we would park in and walk over to the church. And in between the service station and the church, there was a bar. So every church night, which going to church wasn't no big deal, you know, and you come for church, you walk by the bar and it's still 7 o'clock in the evening or whatever. So there ain't a bunch of them gathered in there yet. And if they are, they haven't had much good drink yet. But after church, oh my, I can remember that. I was only 5, 6 years old at the time. But I can remember Brother Napier saying, now listen, sisters, nobody go out of the church over to your cars yet until some brothers walk you over there. So the brothers would have to escort the sisters past this bar because there would always be men at the doorway screaming and yelling lewd and vulgar things at the people. Now, let me tell you something, friend. That was a very, very bitter cup to drink out of. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, sisters, but I can speak not as a sister, but as a man. I don't like to be cussed out. Just a personal thing. I don't enjoy being cussed out. Now, you may enjoy being cussed out, so it might not have been a bitter cup for you. But I can just imagine that if I'm on my way walking to my car from church, and I walk out of the church and make a right and walk past some men, and they're standing there cussing me out, I'm not going to much like it. I'm going to dread it. Every night when church is over, I am going to dread walking to my car. Sure, that is drinking from the bitter cup. But you know what? If those sisters wanted to come to church, they had to be willing to drink from that bitter cup. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Everything may not go your way, but if you're going to win this battle, you're going to have to be willing to drink from the bitter cup.
Amen. You're going to have to be willing to drink what the Lord fixes you to drink, no matter how bad it tastes at the moment, no matter how hard it is to drink at the moment. You have got to be willing to drink of that cup if you're going to win this battle. Because, friend, let me tell you, the battle is set in array, and the devil is all geared up over on the mountain, and he's ready and waiting for us. He is ready for anything that the church can do. The devil has on all of his armor, and he's just sitting there waiting. And I feel like we as a church, praying and fasting and depending upon the Lord, we're ready if that devil shows his head to attack him. But between the church and the devil, there is yourself. You have got to be willing to defeat yourself if you're ever going to get to where the devil is. Amen? And so, friend, I want you to realize that David was the one that was willing to step up to the challenge of this giant and willing to go down to the valley and face him. And I want you to notice that what he said to the giant was not, "I come to you with some of the best weapons ever made. I come to you after I just met with all the other men and we're ready for you." He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." Now listen, friend, you can sign yourself up to the best psychologist and the best psychiatrist in the world. You can sign yourself up with the best one. A matter of fact, I'll just throw this in real quick. After my accident and I started going to therapy every day, which you talk about going to therapy, I went 5 days a week, 7.5 hours a day. It was like having a job. And one of the things that they thought they would try for a while, they was giving me tests, you know, to see all the things I needed. And one of the things that they did was they set me up to see a psychologist every day. So I would go in every day for 2 or 3 weeks until she refused to see me more, because she said that there was nothing that she could do to help me. So I would go in every day and sit there, and she'd start talking to me and try to get me to say things to her and talk to her and everything. So I'd talk a few minutes. Well, let me tell you something, friend. You can go and lay on the couch of the best psychiatrist in America, the most educated one in America. But friend, that psychologist is not necessarily going to be able to help you in any way, because it is not that that is going to help you defeat the giant that's between you and getting victory over the devil. Amen? A matter of fact, I used to have a job at Western Home Center over here on Coleraine Avenue, and I remember we had several young fellows there. I had just quit college. I made a foolish mistake, which if my dad was here right now, he'd be up saying amen, believe me. I was going to college to be a teacher. Well, I'd already went 2 years and started my third year, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm a preacher now. Lord called me to preach. I hadn't even preached my first message yet, and I thought, well, I'm going to be preaching all the time. I ain't got time to go to school. So I quit. I didn't know the first 2 years of preaching, you've got time to go to school, friend. So I quit school. Well, now I wish I wouldn't have quit school, so I had my degree to be a teacher. But at the time, I didn't see any reason to be a teacher, because, which I still don't as far as in some ways. But I thought, hey, I don't have time for school. Man, that phone's going to start ringing. They're going to be calling me up to preach any minute. It never did start ringing that much, so I had time to go to school. But anyway, so I got a job at Western Home Center, and there, most of the guys there was in a similar predicament. They were mostly young guys in their 20s, and several of them had problems that our politicians today say it's not a problem at all. It was a great problem there. They smoked pot, marijuana. They got addicted to that and to what I think it's cocaine that they make where they can smoke, called crack. They became crack addicts and cocaine addicts. And so one of the boys there, I forget his name, but he was a pretty good guy to talk to and stuff. I really enjoyed being around him. He was a bad marijuana addict, and he got arrested driving under the influence of marijuana. They arrested him, and so they signed him up into
what is called the care unit down in Cincinnati, or a dry out center, or a place for people who have addictions that they're trying to get rid of. So he signed up, and he was gone from work for a couple months, and he was in the dry out center. Well, the day he came back to work, they talked to him about it and said, "Man, I'm glad you got off of it." He said, "Got off of what?" And they said, "Marijuana. You was addicted, right? That's why they put you in the care unit, wasn't it?" He said, "Let me tell you something. They didn't help me a bit." And they said, "Well, you was there for however many weeks it was," which, by the way, now it is a fact that the care unit, or the Alcoholic Anonymous, or whatever you want to call the different groups, have a 97% failure rate after 5 years. In other words, when they turn people out, they're okay. 5 years later, you go back and check, they're right back in the same mess. 97% failure rate. You have got to defeat yourself. You have got to be willing to defeat yourself, because your biggest enemy, and you can take a look and see for sure who I'm talking about, all the people sitting around you, you can look and check every one of them if you want to. Go ahead if you want to. Look around. Get a good look at the people sitting around you. They're not your biggest enemies. I don't know. You may have an enemy here. Well, the Bible says to pray for your enemies. Love your enemy. Pray for them. That's not your worst enemy. All of you that have mirrors in your purse, you're welcome to get it out. And there'll be a picture in there of your biggest enemy. You mean a picture of the devil? No, 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 no. Oh, yeah, I believe we're going to defeat the devil one of these days. We're going to put a bruise on his head. We're going to put him in bondage forever. That day's coming when the devil's going to be defeated once and for all. Amen? But if we ever plan on getting that day and being on the right side and being one of those that's on a white horse, if we ever plan on being one of those that's on the side of Jesus, we have first got to get down the valley and defeat that enemy that's daring us to get down that valley and defeat him. And that, friend, is yourself. Now, so what do you tell yourself when yourself is getting after you? Well, I'll tell you what myself tells me. Oh, yeah, sure, sure. Well, yeah, right, sure. Brother Miller may say that. Sure. But that's old self getting up. That valley of sanctification will take care of that self. Amen? Come on now. Yeah, but let me tell you something. Look at what time it is. You got things to do. I mean, you still got to, and, well, you know, you ain't got time for that. That valley down there called prayer and fasting, you're going to have to get down in that valley if you're going to defeat self. Amen?
Right.
Yeah, but can't you smell it? Doesn't it smell good? That valley of fasting. You have got to get down that valley of prayer and fasting in order to defeat yourself. Remember, the devil said one time to them, they said, "Hey, Jesus we know." Who else was it? Was it John? Paul? Paul we know. Jesus we know. Who are you? They didn't ask that to Jesus here, did they? And Jesus said, "You're worried that it didn't happen for you? Let me tell you, this cometh only by prayer and fasting." The only way that you're ever going to get to where the devil is to defeat him is to defeat yourself in the valley of prayer and fasting. Yeah, but you know, sometimes old self says, Doug says to Doug, "Yeah, but they knew better than that. Can you believe they said that to you? Can you believe they treated you that way? Yeah, but what about this?"
Yeah.
And try to get me to have hard feelings? Sure. And try to get me to realize, "Oh, that tastes terrible. I don't have to take that from anybody."
Bitter.
No, 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 no. That's the bitter cup. You have to get down in that valley to kill yourself
You got to go ahead and drink that bitter cup and take it in the name of Jesus in order to get to where the devil is, to defeat the devil. Everybody stand tonight. Now listen, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to get a spear and come up to this altar and just imagine yourself spiritually being next to yourself and run the spear through your other spiritual self. No, that ain't going to help nothing. What I want you to do tonight is come down to this altar and get into the valley of sanctification. Get down on this altar tonight and rebuke. Now listen, friend. I don't know if you ever rebuked the devil. Has anybody besides me ever rebuked the devil? Oh, I have, sure. Matter of fact, I was in revival up in Silver Springs, New York, and we had a boy came that was devil-possessed, and I rebuked the devil for hours. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something, friend. You need to come up to this altar tonight and rebuke the giant that stands between you and the devil, that's daring you to straighten up and do right. Defeat yourself. That giant is named self. Let's get down to the valley tonight where that giant is and face that giant face to face. Everybody that will, let's come around this altar tonight and let's just tell ourselves, self, you are not going to do this. No way. I am going to stay at this altar until I become sanctified. I am going to stay at this altar until I get over, until I make sure that I have defeated myself. Don't get up from the